All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 16. 2 Samuel, chapter 16. Keep walking off and forget my water. All right, 2 Samuel, chapter 16. I'd like to read several verses to get you up to what's going on here, but I'm not going to read as many as I wanted to. Let's begin in verse 5, please. Verse 5. Verse 5 says, "And when King David came to Bahurim," all right, this little town, Bahurim, "behold, thence came out a man of the family of the house of" who? Saul. All right, Saul. Now, you remember that Saul was the king of Israel, and then, of course, he entered over into the priesthood one day, and God said, "That's enough. That's enough of Saul, and I'm going to replace Saul with King David." You remember that? He said, I don't want Saul. He's a man after everybody else's heart. I want a man after my heart. And so David was chosen by the Lord to be the king in Saul's stead. All right, so David was from the tribe of Judah, and Saul was from the tribe of Benjamin. And so there was no love lost between the two, because David took Saul's place and his family couldn't get over it. All right, now let's continue reading on. It says in verse 5, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. He came forth and cursed still as he came. Now, that's just a real nice way to say, when he came out of the house, he was cursing. And as he went towards David, he was still cursing. And as he ran alongside David and his men in their formation, he was still cursing. So he was not a happy camper, all right? That's what that means. Look at verse 6. Verse 6 says, "And he," Shimei, "cast stones at David." Now let me remind you, folks, David is the king, all right? Don't forget that. David is the king. Now he is, in this chapter, running for his life because of his rebellious son, Absalom. But nonetheless, David is the king. And here is this member of Saul's family, and he is cursing at David, following alongside of David on the hill as they are making their way out of Jerusalem, and he's cursing as he goes and throwing rocks. Unbelievable, isn't it? I mean, this guy's brazen. If ever anybody was brazen, old Shimei was brazen. All right, so let's continue reading here. Verse 6, "And he cast stones at David and at all the servants of King David and all the people and all the mighty men." Do you see that? All the mighty men. These were the warriors that protected the king. And so all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. So they are surrounding the king and protecting him. Verse 7, "And thus said Shimei when he cursed, come out, thou bloody man, thou bloody man." Now, that you and I would understand that, come out, you bloodthirsty man. All right, he is accusing David of being a killer, being a murderer, because Saul lost his life. Well, David didn't kill him. We'll say more about that in a minute. But David did not kill him. But yet he's dead, and so who do you blame but the king, but David, who is your enemy? All right. So verse 8. Oh, he said, "And thou man of Belial, man of Belial." That would be the equivalent of saying you're a reprobate. You're just a reprobate. All right. This guy is he's angry. He is so full of bitterness and anger. Look at verse 8. "The Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned. And the Lord hath delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom thy son. And behold, thou art taken in thy mischief, because thou art a bloodthirsty, a bloody man." Now, let me just stop right here and say to you that all that was stated here in verse 7 and 8 that came out of Shimei's mouth, none of it's true. It was all a bunch of just makeup things to hurl at David with the intent of hurting David. Verse 9. "Then Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, said unto the king, Why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head." Now, wouldn't that have been something? I bet he would stop then. Verse 10, "And the king said, What have I to do with you, ye sons of Zeruiah? So let him curse, because the Lord hath said unto him, Curse David. Who shall then say, Wherefore hast thou done so?" So in other words, David is sitting here going, "No, we're not going to go fight. I don't deserve what he's saying. I don't deserve these accusations he's throwing at me, but, you know, he's hurt. He's a hurt man. And for all I know, the Lord told him to come out here and say these things about me. So just like we didn't bother Saul, we're not going to bother his descendant." All right? You understand that? Why do we always have to attack? You know? And David is a classic example of how to handle when people try to hurt you. He just turned the other cheek, so to speak. All right, verse 11, it says, "And David said unto Abishai and to all his servants, Behold, my son, which came forth of my bowels, seeketh my life. How much more now may this Benjamite do it? Let him alone, and let him curse, for the Lord hath bidden him. It may be that the Lord will look on mine affliction, and the Lord will requite." The Lord will requite me. Now, you and I would understand that requite as repay. The Lord will repay him. So don't you lift a finger, Abishai. Don't you go over there and take your sword and lob his head off. Don't do it. We're going to let the Lord take care of this. The Lord will repay if he wants to. And as David and his men, verse 13, went by the way, Shimei went along on the hill's side over against him and cursed as he went and threw stones at him and cast dust. All right, I'm going to stop reading right there. And I want to speak to you tonight a message I'm simply going to entitle Bahurim. Bahurim. Let's pray. Father, we ask now your blessings upon us as we open your word, and I pray that you will bless your word to our hearts. Give us strength tonight and help us to get something this evening that will strengthen our faith in you, but also, Father, help us how to handle the wiles of the devil. So I pray that you will bless. Help me as I speak and help our folks as they listen. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. All right, in the previous couple of chapters, we find the story of David's son, Absalom, rebelling against his father. Absalom was using his charm and his good looks to stir the people of Jerusalem to rise up against David and to remove him as the king so that Absalom could take the throne instead. David does not want to stand and fight against his own son. All right, he loved Absalom. Absalom was his child, and he certainly did not want to stand and fight against his own son, even though he could have easily defeated the rebellion. David instead tells all of his men to get ready, and they fled and left the city of Jerusalem. Now, as they were fleeing, in verse 5, he met up with a fellow by the name of Shimei. Shimei was a member of the household of Saul. And when he saw David coming, he ran out to yell and to throw rocks and to curse at David. Shimei was evidently very bitter at David for the fact that his family member, King Saul, had died and David had taken his place. I don't know how he got it in his mind that David had something to do with Saul's demise. He certainly did not. He came out of his house cursing David, throwing rocks at the king, and to me, it seems like he just kind of lost it, you know? I mean, he just sort of went crazy with rage, and it seems kind of foolish for him to act this way, and in my opinion, I think he was taking his life into his own hands. I mean, this was treason against the king. And it just didn't, it's just not something that you did, especially back in Old Testament Bible times. Now, in verse 6, David's men had to surround their king to protect him from the barrage of rocks that Shimei was casting. Now, you might be wondering what the deal is with all the rock throwing that goes on over there. If you've watched the news, you will see that they're still throwing rocks over there. And the reason that they do throw rocks over there is because they're everywhere. I mean, they're everywhere. And if you wanted to cause chaos, well, you just get you a bag full of rocks and your buddies do the same and everybody just unloads. All right, so they're still that way today. You will watch the news and you'll see the Israeli army out there and they've got their garb on, they've got their radios and they got their chest protectors and their helmets and their communication devices. They've got machine guns and you name it and everything else. And then there's those Palestinian boys, all right? The men get the boys to throw the rocks because they know there's going to be retaliation. And so they start hurling the rocks over, and they're everywhere. They're just everywhere. And how many times do you see the Israeli soldiers just take a shield and put it up over their heads, and the rocks go flying off the shields? They are good at throwing rocks. They're good at it. I mean, that's what they use as a weapon. And so, especially in and around Jerusalem, rocks everywhere. And that's what Shimei was using against King David all those centuries ago. Now, one of David's men, a fellow by the name of Abishai, in verse 9 said, David, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head. Now, David would not let him do that. He would not let him go to kill Shimei. David said we're not going to kill, we're not going to murder, we're not going to take vengeance. No, sir. David would not let him do it. And folks, this shows you the seriousness of Shimei acting the way he did towards David. This shows you the seriousness of it. Here is David's mighty men, and they're looking at David like, aren't you going to do anything about this? I mean, are you not, you going to stand here and let this guy hurl rocks at us and insults and cursing? You going to let that happen? And David said, yeah, I'm going to let that happen. Don't do a thing. Leave him alone. Leave him alone. Now, that is the story. All right? That is the story. And I want you to notice that all of this happened in a little village by the name of Bahurim. Bahurim. This little spot of land was given to the tribe of Benjamin. Now, Benjamin was a small tribe. It was the smallest of the tribes. And they were right underneath Judah. Okay? So they nestled right up to the mountains where Jerusalem sits on top of the mountain. And right around all of that, going all the way over almost to Bethlehem, you had the tribe of Judah. So it wrapped around the hill that Jerusalem sits on. Now, all of it happened right there. No one is 100% sure where Bahurim is located. But most everyone agrees that it was just a little tiny village that was on a little narrow walking path that was on the steep slopes of the on the other side of the Mount of Olives going down towards Jericho. Now, if you've been over to Israel with me and Karen, you know that is nothing but a sheer hillside. That's all it is. There is a little stream that comes out, just a little brook that comes out, and they have channeled that, and it goes down through what is called the Valley of the Shadow of Death. And it just runs down all the way down from Jerusalem, all the way down to Jericho at the bottom of the mountain. And somewhere up in there was the little town of Bahurim. And no doubt it was just a little tiny place. But notice here, folks, that in verse 5, the Bible tells us that when King David came to Bahurim. It's strange, isn't it? Why put that in there? Why does that need to be there? Well, I think it needs to be there so I could preach on it tonight and give you a little challenge about how to handle trials and heartaches and disappointments as you go through life. You know, you have two ways to react to anything. There is to react in a way that you trust the Lord, and then there is a reaction that where you try to take things into your own hands. And it's always best to trust the Lord, don't you think? It's always best to trust the Lord. And so there are some lessons to be learned from this humiliating experience that David had to face in Bahurim. Now, let me point out just a couple of things. First of all, let's consider the coming of the attack. I want you to notice the coming of the attack. I don't think King David or any of his men expected this to happen. I really don't. I don't think David, they didn't expect this to happen. I mean, my goodness, he's the king of the whole nation. He is the top guy. And here comes this man running out and throwing rocks and cursing. Here is David surrounded by his armed guards. These men are strong and mighty. And then here comes this guy out of nowhere cursing and flailing around like a madman and throwing dust up in the air, even bending over and picking up rocks to hurl them in David's direction. So I really don't think that David or any of his men ever thought that something like this would happen. Do you know that's usually when stuff happens, isn't it? Especially when the devil tries to stir things up against you. Let's under this matter of the coming of the attack, I want to point out three things to you. First of all, notice the sureness of the attack upon David. If you look at verse 5, it says, when King David came to Bahurim, there is a Bahurim in your path. If you haven't run into it yet, then you be on the lookout tomorrow. You'll probably run into it tomorrow. And if you don't hit it tomorrow, then you might hit it the day after that. But you see, the devil is going to do everything in his power to make sure that the road that the Bible refers to as the Christian life, which is which you receive at the moment you trust Jesus as your personal Savior, and from that until the day that you enter into the streets of gold, the devil is going to make sure that things don't go smoothly for you. And I'm sure, you know, David's got all this on him. His son has rebelled against him. And he's discouraged and he's disappointed. And now he's fleeing out of Jerusalem for his life. And what happens? Well, here comes Shimei out of his house, throwing rocks at him and humiliating him and cursing at him. Folks, David is already having a difficult time, and now he's got to deal with this. But that's how it works, isn't it? You see, David either had to get out of Jerusalem quickly or risk being killed or captured by Absalom's men, and he was no doubt humiliated, embarrassed that his own son was rebelling against him and trying to take his kingdom away. And now here is this nasty, ugly, obviously troubled man cursing and hurling insults at him. And he seems to have lost every sense of dignity and decency and morality, calling David all these names and cursing at him. Well, that's Bahurim. And my friend, there's going to be a Bahurim that you're going to have to face one of these days. Question is, how are you going to handle it? You know, Bahurims tear people up. Yeah, they get their eyes off the Lord and get their eyes on others, and they get destroyed in the process. Don't let that happen to you. You see, Bahurim is not a friendly place. As a matter of fact, it's a hostile place. And folks there do not like you very much. And it's a place, it is not a place of character, but it is a place that will do everything it can to demean and even destroy you if you'll let it. And the truth is, we will not live very long on this earth before we find ourselves in Bahurim. But you cannot let that place get you down, Christian. You cannot let it destroy you. I think it's amazing how David just somehow managed to keep his restraint through all of this. Oh, he was the king of Israel. One word from his lips, and forever, Shimei would have been shut down. I mean, he would have been out of David's hair and everybody else's hair. David would only have to nod his head at any one of those mighty men walking with him and surrounding him and protecting him that day. Just nod at one of them, and Shimei would have been out in eternity. Make no mistake about it, folks. Hey, David, are you going to let Bahurim get you down? David, are you going to allow someone who despises the very ground that you walk on, are you going to let one person get you out of sorts? David says, nope, I'm not going to let that happen. David, let us go get him. We'll shut him up right here, right now. David says, nope, we're not going to do that. We're going to be calm, and we're going to let the Lord handle things. Folks, make no mistake. The day will come when you're going to have to go through a Bahurim. Somebody's going to talk about you. Somebody's going to gossip about you. Somebody's going to run you down all over the county. What are you going to do? You going to quit serving God? You going to get mad and say, I'm just not going to go to church. I'm hurt. I'll say this again. Could you imagine if I quit every time somebody said something about me? Y'all laughing because you've heard it, haven't you? You know. I'm telling you, folks, Bahurim is not a friendly place. Notice, secondly, the source of the attack. We have the sureness. Oh, it's coming. But then notice the source. We are told here that this attack came upon him from the family of the household of Saul. Now, King Saul's house evidently did not represent the finest in Israel. Okay? Evidently. As a matter of fact, as time progressed, the tribe of Benjamin grew filled with rebels. They had all kinds of problems in the tribe of Benjamin. The Benjamites were filled with vile, wicked people who were under the wrath and the judgment hand of God. You have probably heard me say many a time that Benjamin was the runt tribe. The runt tribe. The smallest of the tribes. And that was primarily due because as time marched on, as time continued on, the tribe of Benjamin was filled, and it was all over the tribe, homosexuality. Now, contrary to Henry Becerra and to Dick Durbin and all those other great thinkers and brilliant minds down in Congress, men, listen to me now, men cannot have babies. It is biologically impossible. Always has been, and it always will be. Men cannot have babies. All right, now, you can go home, and if somebody asks you, what'd you learn tonight in church, you can say, profound. Oh, yeah, what was it? Men can't have babies. All right, now, so if you are a rebel and you rebel against God and against His word, the Bible says that in the beginning, male and female created He them. Two sexes, male, female. All right, Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. All right? But if you rebel against that, then you're rebelling against God Almighty. And that's what the Benjamites did. And they became the runt tribe. Because, I say it again, men cannot have babies. Everybody understand that? I hope you do. King Saul himself was not a man after God's own heart, but was a man who was just like the rest of the nation over whom he reigned as king. He was selfish, he was disobedient, and he was dishonoring to God. He could not be expected. King Saul could not be expected to tell the truth. Saul was an enemy to David, who was chosen by God to succeed Saul on the throne. So Saul was dishonest. He was not trustworthy. He was filled with hatred. He sought for 10 long years to kill King David. He chased him through the Judean hills for 10 years. He entered into the priesthood because he couldn't wait 10 minutes for Samuel to show up, who was the high priest. He couldn't wait. And so he went into the priesthood. And he was an evil-hearted soul. He was conniving and was a wicked fellow. So listen, folks, when you are attacked by this crowd, and that's the crowd that's going to meet you at Bahurim. When you are attacked by this crowd, when they come after you, please stop and consider the source. That's what David did. David stopped and considered the source, and he did not fight back. He simply just said, the Lord will take care of this. These folks are not going to honor your efforts. They're not going to praise your attempts to do the right thing, but will instead do all they can to destroy you and destroy your children. Then thirdly, let's notice the season of the attack. You know, as I thought on this, it occurred to me that this attack was twofold. Twofold. First of all, it was when David's standing, his status, was weak. It was when his status was weak. Don't forget, King David was fleeing Jerusalem when he was attacked. He's running from Absalom. He's already discouraged and defeated in his heart and disappointed. Already his heart is broken, and through a whole series of events, David was at a very weak point when Shimei attacked him. No doubt he feels so weak and maybe even embarrassed. And so here's the mighty king of Israel, and yet he is fleeing from the threats of his own son trying to oust him. And I'll guarantee you, David would not have fled if someone else in the kingdom had tried to take his throne. But he wasn't going to fight against his own flesh and blood. And I can only imagine, as he came out of Jerusalem, that his heart was just broken. Well, that's when Bahurim's going to come after you. I don't know why that is. Well, I do know why that is. It's called the devil. And he knows everything about us. He knows when we're struggling, and he knows when our energy level is down, and he knows when we're dealing with things that grieve and break our heart. And that's when he attacks. But secondly, I want you to notice it was when David was suffering. Now, folks, just think about it for a moment. David is suffering because the one doing the hurt to him was his son, a member of his own family, a boy he loved, and he's turned against his own daddy. Just think about it, folks. David is so broken, and you can be assured the devil likes to attack the child of God when he is burdened and struggling with the things of life. Isn't it just amazing how the devil knows us better than we know ourselves? But he does. He does. He patiently waits for us to get down and discouraged, and then boom, he hits us with everything he has. And notice it all happened in Bahurim. You're going to have yours. You're going to have yours. You know, if you got a few years on you, there is no doubt you've been to Bahurim a lot of times. A lot of times. All right, so I've pointed out to you, first of all, the coming of the attack. But now secondly, just take a moment here and look at the character of the attack. Real quickly, first, here's the first thing I noticed about this attack that Shimei gave. Shimei attacked David in his proclamations. This attack, you'll notice, began with words. You don't have to physically fight to hurt someone. You don't have to do that. This attack began with words. And you know, the truth is, most Christians cannot say, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. They do hurt. None of us like it when we are verbally attacked. I tell you, through the years, I've had people come up and they'll say, and good intention people, don't get me wrong, but they'll come up and say, Pastor, I just want you to know, I don't believe what they're saying about you. Okay. Thanks, I guess. I don't know. You know, and then you go home and you lay in bed and you go, well, what are they saying about me? And then I come to the conclusion, I really don't want to know. I really don't want to know. All right? Now, notice a valuable lesson here, folks. David did not retaliate against Shimei. And even when Saul was chasing after David, he did not retaliate against King Saul. What did he say? He said, I am not going to lift my hand against the Lord's anointed. If God wants to take Saul down, God will do it. And by the way, God did do it. So the same way he treated King Saul was the same way he treated Shimei. He just simply let the Lord handle it. Secondly, Shimei attacked David in public. In public. Isn't it strange how folks like to wait until they have an audience before they go on the attack? They wait till they got somebody that they hopefully persuade to their way of thinking. And it's almost like they need a crowd to inspire them to speak up. I can imagine Shimei thought having a crowd around him would give him the absolute best opportunity to do the most hurt and injury to David. But the crowd around you often gives you boldness to say what you want to say. And then thirdly, Shimei's attack was prevaricating. Now, I looked everywhere for a P word to go in there. And prevaricate was the word that I found. It took the thesaurus to get it, but I found it. You say, okay, well, what in the world does prevaricate mean? Well, it means to deflect. It means to deflect. Shimei's attack was prevaricating. You will notice here that Shimei cursed David. And he said these awful things about him in verse 7 and 8. He called him a bloody man and a man of Belial, or a reprobate, if you will. He said that he had the blood of the house of Saul upon him, and that Saul should be reigning, but now David is reigning. And he went on and said, it's a good thing Absalom's doing what he's doing. You deserve what you're getting. And there's David standing there going, I didn't deserve any of this. I didn't deserve any of this. You see, folks, everything was slanderous. And the context shows us that nothing Shimei said about David was true. None of it. He was deflecting. He was deflecting. And just cursing and saying all these things. Listen, folks, when you'll find that Bahurim is not a place of truth. People lie there. They slander there. You'll find it's not a place of truth. You know, when a person resorts to cursing to hurt someone else, that's about as sure of an indication as you're going to find that what that person is saying is false. False. Listen to me. All you young people in here, please listen to the counseling I'm about to give you right now. Listen carefully, young people. I don't want you ever forget this. Any idiot can curse. Any idiot. Any moron can curse. Is that blunt enough for you? It needs to be. Because the next time some of these oaths come out of your mouth, I want you to remember that on February the, what's the day, 26th, at 8:21, no, 7:21. I looked at it wrong. You know me in numbers. Pastor said, any idiot can curse. Someone said, it's best to keep silent and be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. You That's true, isn't it? And so any fool can curse. And when you start cursing to express yourself, what you are saying is, duh, I ain't very smart. That's what you're saying. You're saying, I do not have enough sense to speak and make the point that I'm trying to make. I'm not very smart and able to use the English language to use words, so I'm just going to curse to make my point. And if that's you, dear friend, if that's you, listen, dads, and in some cases, moms, you better be careful. You better be careful. Several years ago when we lived in Illinois, I went to a home. Woman and her husband said they were having trouble with their 12-year-old girl. And I said, well, what's wrong? Well, she's rebellious as she can be, and she won't do anything in school. She just doesn't care. And she curses like a sailor. And I said, she curses like 12? Yeah. So I went over to the house and sat down with her, and I asked her mom and dad to leave. I said, would you guys just go in another room? Shut the door. Don't listen. And I said, now, young lady, I want to try and help you here. And I started talking to her. And I said, why would you use foul cursing language at 12 years of age, especially where your parents can hear you? She looked at me and she said, well, that's how they talk. I said, what? Well, that's how they talk. I said, can I go get them and bring them in here and tell them what you just said? Well, I don't care. So I went and got them, brought them in. I said, we're going to replay this. We're going to push the rewind button here for just a minute. And then we're going to replay this so you can hear it. And I asked her the same question. She looked them both dead in the eye and said, because you all say it. That's what you all say. You see, they learn from mom and dad. Better be careful. Better be careful. You're simply deflecting from the truth when you're cursing. The truth will come out, and it will win out in the end. But you're deflecting by using that kind of language. Then lastly, Shimei's attack was persistent. Look at the phrase in verse 5, and cursed still as he came. That means he just kept spewing his venom as he came. He did not stop. And when they won't stop, it just makes it more difficult to deal with, doesn't it? It sure does. But David trusted in the Lord, and he kept his temper under control. Let me tell you something, Christian. As you go through life, you will have your times when you have to go through Bahurim. Those times can make you or they can break you. They can strengthen your testimony or they can ruin your testimony. All of us will eventually face our own Shimei. So let's learn from King David here how to deal with Shimei when he comes after us. Let's bow our heads, please. And our Heavenly Father, you know our needs tonight. You know the heart of every person in this room. And I just pray that, Father, you will help us to take your word and apply it where it's needed. We're all going to face our Shimeis in life. We're all going to, as we strive to serve you, we're going to have Shimei throw some rocks at us. We're going to have Shimei get a handful of dust, dirt, and throw it our way. And Father, I just pray you'll help us to remain calm and to do the right thing. Vengeance belongs to you, not to us. And Father, you've clearly stated in your word, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. So Father, help us not to retaliate, not to get upset, lose our testimony, lose our standing in the eyes of others. But Father, help us to be like Jesus. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. And so, Father, bless your word, we pray. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, nobody's looking around. I wonder how many of us here tonight will say, preacher, pray for me. God's speaking to my heart tonight. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand and let's pray about this? Amen, amen, amen. Good. God bless you. God bless you. Many, many hands. God bless all of you. Amen. Amen. All right, Father, you know our needs. Bless your word to our hearts and meet the needs of our hearts, we pray. I want to pray for all these hands that went up tonight. And Father, I pray you'll help us to examine our hearts this evening and make those necessary decisions that will help us to be a better Christian and to serve you better. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.